We gather in the Lord's house on this beautiful Lord's Day to worship and celebrate the freedom that He has given us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. I think summer's finally here. Amen? I hope you've enjoyed the hot, humid weather that we've had. If you haven't, just go outside this afternoon and you'll enjoy it today. I know it has been a wonderful week here in North Carolina. I got back on vacation from Florida on Wednesday. I think we brought the Florida weather with us when we came back, and I apologize about that, but it is good to gather in the Lord's house this day knowing that the air condition is running and we can enjoy the coolness of this sanctuary this morning. And this week we will celebrate our nation's independence and the freedoms that we are blessed as a nation. And as we do that, may we remember this day, the greatest freedom that we have, the one found in Jesus Christ our Lord. For those that are joining us this morning via Facebook Live, I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin there. From there, you can see what's going on, not just for the worship service this morning, but also in the ministry highlights of things coming up in the life of our church. I will point out a few of those this morning for those that are gathered here in our sanctuary and those listening online. If you are a first-time guest with us, fill out a visitor's card this morning. If you're watching us for the first time this morning on Facebook Live, send us an email. Let us know that you're watching this morning, and I'll get back in touch with you this week and just kind of follow up with you, check how you're doing this week. But again, we're hopeful that you will be participating with us in the future here at First Baptist. I do want to let you know the church office will be closed this week on Tuesday for the for the 4th. So just know that if you want to get in touch with us this week, don't try on Tuesday. You can contact Gay and myself by our cell phones if there is an emergency, but the church office will be closed. Also, our administrative assistant, Janice, will be out of the office on Monday. So if you need her, don't call on Monday. She won't be here. She will be extending her birthday celebration. And I say that because if you did not get in touch with her this past week wishing her a happy birthday, and she will kill me if she knows I'm saying this morning worship, I encourage you to follow up this week. Send her an email, send her a text, drop by on Wednesday or Thursday this week and wish her a happy birthday. She does so much for our congregation, and we are blessed to have her. So surprise her this week on Wednesday, Thursday with birthday surprises. But again, it is good to be back here at First Baptist. If you did not have a chance to this morning, I do want to remind you that next Sunday is the last Sunday that you'll have an opportunity to sign up in person for our pictorial directory. This is our 75th anniversary pictorial directory. We're excited about this. We want everybody to be a part of this. We want you to be a part of this celebration. We want you to be in this directory. If you have not signed up yet, next Sunday is the deadline. This will be the last Sunday you can sign up in person for the directory for those July dates. You can also sign up online during the week, Monday through Friday. We have the dates for the August picture dates as well. You can sign up for those in person. We will have some dates in person where you can sign up in person following those July dates as well, but we want to make sure everybody's a part of this. So if you have not signed up yet, make sure you stop by the table next Sunday morning. We also are in need of helpers for those dates in July. We have helpers helping out during that Thursday date. All the slots have been filled. Thank you for those who have signed up to help for those. We are in need of a few more helpers for that Friday, July 21st. If you can help with those dates, we need two people for a two-hour time block. So if you have a wonderful church friend that you enjoy socializing with, enjoys just sitting down with and being in their company, this is a perfect opportunity for you to sit down with them for 2 hours and socialize, welcome people as they come for those taking their pictures, and helping out. So if you have that individual and you know who that individual is, stop by the table today and write down your name and help out on that Friday. We'll also need helpers for the August dates as well. Next Sunday morning, I do want to go ahead and remind you, you heard about this last Sunday, that immediately following the worship service next Sunday morning, we will have a special called roundtable meeting. This is our business meeting here at First Baptist Elon. That immediately following worship, we will have a short roundtable meeting on a potential new partnership with Abundant Life Christian Ministry. This is a motion being brought by our vision leadership team. We have been presented with an opportunity to help this ministry out that provides a day program for adults with who have cognitive and physical disabilities. This is an opportunity that has been presented to our church, and it's an opportunity that I think our church has the facilities that we can help this ministry out with. This information went out by email this past week. There was also information in each of your Sunday school classes. You can pick up one of those packets and see what Abundant Life Ministry is all about. They do a wonderful ministry in the life of our community, and this is a wonderful way that we can help out this ministry and be a part of a powerful ministry that takes place in our community. Next Sunday morning, we will have a special roundtable meeting immediately following worship service to vote about potentially partnering with this ministry. So I pray that you'll be a part of that roundtable meeting next Sunday morning. I also want you to mark your calendar for Sunday, July 16th. This is a special event in the life of our church. At 5 p.m. that evening, we will have a night with our very own children's book author. You may not even know we had a children's book author in our congregation, Angie Miller, who is sitting right over here. And Earlene was just pointing at her. If you didn't know who Angie was, Angie has penned a children's book, a
wonderful children's book, by the way. And we are going to celebrate this milestone in her life with a book signing opportunity. You can purchase the book that night. You can have her sign it by the own author that penned it herself, and also have an opportunity where she'll read the book for anybody that's gathered. And of course, we're going to have some homemade ice cream. So wonderful opportunity. We wanted this to be a community-wide event. Invite your friends, invite your family. That'll be on July 16th at 5 p.m. Please be a part of this. If you know someone that you would like to invite to this this event, there are some promotional flyers on the table as you leave this morning. Pick one up. If you know a family member, a family that has children, young children especially, bring those. Bring that. Pick that flyer up and take that to them. Invite them to this event because it will be a night of fun on July 16th. The July mission gatherings are printed on your bulletin on the back of those, the things we're collecting for our pantry and Camp Green Leaves as we continue to support that ministry. But lots of other things going on in the life of your church. July newsletter went out this past week, so make special notes of all those things. I think I've done enough talking. I'm about to lose my voice already. That's never a good thing before the sermon comes. So we gather to worship the one who has been and continues to be faithful to us. Let us worship the Holy One this morning.
Let's stand and sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness."
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 89, reading verses 1 through 4, and then verses 15 through 18. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness, for you are their glory and strength. And by your favor, you exalt our horn. Indeed, our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. As we sing praise to Him, as we exult in the righteousness of God this day, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Holy God, your faithful love toward us never ends. It is as sure and dependable as each breath we are able to take. We praise you this morning. We've gathered together in this place to offer you our worship and our thanksgiving, to declare to anyone who will listen that you are our God and we are your people. May your spirit be at work among us as we worship, opening our eyes to the light of your presence in this very place. To you alone, faithful creator, redeemer, and sustainer, be all glory and honor now and forever. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is one of our patriotic hymns, America the Beautiful. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Let's stand as we sing. may be seated.
As part of our continuing celebration of our 75 years in ministry, we are excited to welcome back members of our extended family, CBF missionaries in Japan, Carson, Laura, Ada, and Judah Fushi. The Fushis have been serving the Lord in Japan the last seven years, and we have been a part of their extended family since Carson was a student here at Elon University and an active member of our congregation, singing in the choir, helping out with the youth, participating in the BSU, among other things. We are excited that they will be joining us on Sunday, July 23rd, for both the morning worship service at 11 a.m., and then returning in the evening for a fellowship meal at 5 p.m., followed by a mission sharing time at 5:30 p.m. I hope that you will come out and show your love and support for this special family both that morning and that evening on July 23rd. Now, another way that we will show our support for the Fushis is by collecting a love offering for the family and presenting it to them that Sunday night during their mission sharing time. Love offering envelopes have been distributed around the church. There are some in your Sunday school classrooms. There are some even in the foyer as you leave this morning. We will be collecting this offering today, next Sunday on July 9th, and the following Sunday on July 16th. We want to make sure that all funds, that all financial support for this love offering are collected by July 16th so we can have the one check ready for them to present to them on July 23rd. So I hope you will prayerfully consider supporting the Fushis by both your presence on July 23rd and financially through the love offering collected over the next few weeks. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon Liz Hill for the offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for our country and the land of the free. Thank you for the freedom that we have, the freedom to live without persecution, and the freedom to love and worship you. Thank you for your love, your forgiveness, and your healing hand. Be with those on the prayer list and continue to bless this church. Bless these gifts and the givers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, praise team, for our special music today. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning before we encounter His word this morning. God of grace and God of glory, shower us with your mercy and forgiveness. When we can't see the way forward, be our navigation system. When we make a wrong turn, gently correct us. When we neglect our health and wellness, heal us with your love. When we neglect or harm your world and its people, reveal your righteousness and guidance, that we may be forgiven and reconciled with you and with your beloved creation. May we never forget that in Christ we are set free. We are reconciled through the power of love and grace. Thanks be to God. Amen. There is a ongoing joke in pastor circles about the sermon after a pastor returns from vacation. There are two types of sermons that take place on that Sunday. There is one, the sermon that is twice as long as the normal sermon. You see, that's the pastor who really missed the pulpit when he was gone. And he prepared a week ahead of time for that sermon and put two sermons into one. And he packed it tight and he's ready to share and it's going to be twice as long. And then there's the pastor who thought to himself, you know what? That sermon after you come back on vacation, your mind is still flowing with a beautiful palm trees and the sunshine and that time away, and that sermon is a little bit shorter than regular because while you knew what you were going to preach about, you maybe didn't go that extra mile in preparing, and you thought to yourself, oh, you just got it planned and prepared. Well, I'm here to share to you today, congregation, that I am preaching sermon number, let's vote. Let's vote. which one do you want me to preach today? Do you want me to preach sermon number one, one that is twice as long as normal, or sermon number two, that laid-back sermon? Come on. Well, I've got both of them ready. I can do either one. Come on, let's see it. All right, be honest. We're going to have a vote here. If you want me to vote sermon number one, raise your hand right now with number one. That's what I thought. If you want me to preach sermon number two, raise your hand with sermon number two. Yeah, I'm going to do whatever I want to. I will preach sermon number two today. Amen? Okay, but you got to be engaged now. Because if you're not engaged, I can change at any moment and stretch it into sermon number one. Because any good pastor can do that. It was good to be on vacation with my family this past week. We had a good time. We missed our church family. But it was a joy to be able to watch the worship service. And if you did not get a chance to be here last Sunday, I encourage you to go online to our Facebook page and watch the sermon from this past Sunday, because it was a wonderful worship experience. Gay's son Jonathan Collins preached a powerful sermon, one that you should go and listen to. If you did not have a chance, I encourage you to go listen to it. Also, our special guest musician, Ginger Wyrick, blessed us with her musical gifts last Sunday, and it is worth going back and listening to it multiple times. If you were here last Sunday, go back to our Facebook page and listen to it again, because she blessed us with her musical gifts. It was a wonderful worship experience, and thank you, Gay, for leading in my absence, but it is good to be back home. Now, there was a news article printed back in 2005 in the July Georgia News Sun newspaper on page A9 that read this title: After 35 years in prison, man finds freedom frustrating. It was the story of Georgia resident Junior Allen. Allen was arrested, charged, and sentenced to 35 years in prison for stealing a black and white television from an elderly woman in North Carolina. He was 30 years old at the time that he was charged. Now, in 2005, at the age of 65 years old, he was released from jail, and he was literally struggling to find his identity as he had had to go back and forth from Georgia to Alabama, where he had lived prior to being incarcerated, in search of his birth certificate, a simple document that would prove who he was. Literally, that he was Junior Allen, that he was 65 years old, to prove that he literally existed. He could not find this one document. All he needed was this document to get a driver's license and to become a productive citizen in society. One single document needed, one single document lost. He said, "It's like I never existed." He wanted an identity. 247 years ago, a group of men and women from various backgrounds were seeking to help a group of colonies find a new identity as a new nation. They were seeking to be free from an oppressive situation. They decided to form a new government and a new nation that would make freedom in the context of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness a key value of our very existence. Some would serve as soldiers and be captured in battle. Some would give large amounts of their wealth for the cause of freedom and never get it paid back. Yet they gave, yet they served, and they put their names on a document that would begin a new chapter in human history. Their commitment was costly. We are the recipients of their commitment and sacrifice. The question I ask for you today is this: have we done justice to their vision
and their sacrifice. We celebrate and give thanks to God for freedom that we enjoy this day and especially the next few days to come. However, I want to remind us this morning that we still must pay the cost of freedom and we must still willingly accept the responsibility of freedom if it is to work the way that it was originally intended in our country. We also, on this day, remember another freedom. One that I think is far more important than this political freedom that is espoused this time of year. It is a freedom that has existed longer than democracy has existed. It is a freedom that has endured and overcome oppression, torture, death, ridicule, and a whole host of other things that cannot snuff it out. It is freedom from sin. It is spiritual freedom. It is the freedom that Jesus Christ made possible through his death and his resurrection. It is forgiveness of all our sins. It is the true cost of freedom. This morning, our scripture passage reminds us of this freedom, but it also ties into this other freedom this time of year. Jesus was speaking to the Jewish followers that were gathered around the synagogue courts. He had just been confronted by the Jewish leaders with a woman who had been caught in adultery. And if we remember that story well, this woman was thrust at Jesus' feet. And they said, "What are we going to do with this woman? What do you say we should do with this woman?" And Jesus didn't say a word. He played in the dirt a little bit. He wrote some things in the dirt, and we're not sure of what he wrote. I was fascinated by the story. I want to know what he wrote in the dirt. But whatever he wrote, it caused the leaders to turn around and walk away. And this woman's life was saved because of Jesus. But anyway, this is what happened just prior to this conversation, these words that Jesus said. After this confrontation with these Jewish leaders, Jesus speaks these words and what it means to follow him. And where true freedom is found, reading John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The truth of which Christ spoke and which God, through divine inspiration that is recorded in these words in John, has made clear to humankind is a liberating truth that those who have heard and responded to by faith have transformed their lives in ways large and in ways small. Verse 32 reminds us of his liberation, of this liberation. We are also reminded of it in the gospel stories of Zacchaeus, of Mary Magdalene, of the Samaritan woman at the well, and numerous times elsewhere. They are stories of people who meet Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of humankind, who changed their lives by changing their hearts through love and forgiveness. And my guess is many of us can add our names to that list. Amen? Amen. God's truth does set us free. His truth sets us free. And for that, that's why we gather to worship. For that, that's why we can lift praise to the Lord. We can live without guilt and shame. Our past can be dealt with, and we can live in the present and future hope that is ours through Jesus Christ. Yet, we also need to remember the first half of the text. It's not just about verse 32. It's also about 31. And in 31, he's providing a framework in which our freedom that we find through him thrives. Because freedom can exist and not be thriving. It can be a word or a status or a symbol that can be thrown out and just thrown out for words or just to be hearsay, if we want to say it. But there has to be a situation in which this freedom thrives. And when we're talking about spiritual freedom,
We want our spiritual freedom to thrive. You see, freedom without boundaries creates anarchy. Let me repeat that again. Freedom without boundaries creates anarchy. Because oftentimes we think freedom means we're let loose. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that spiritual freedom without boundaries creates anarchy. And this goes for political freedom as well. One word reminds us of this needed framework, and that's that word, obedience. I had a chance to observe lots of children at Disney World this past week. And it's amazing, because I like to see family dynamics. It's amazing how families interact. It's just amazing. And there were instances of obedience, and there were a lot of examples of non-obedience. But that's family life. But in this passage, Christ is reminding everyone that I brought you freedom, but that freedom doesn't mean that you're wide open. It comes with some responsibility. There is a cost. You are truly my disciple, says Jesus, if you keep obeying my teachings. Salvation freedom continues and deepens as we keep obeying what Scripture and the Holy Spirit teaches us. Jesus, as the text says, is speaking to those who have already believed in him. He's not trying to convert here. He's trying to teach and counsel those who have already bought in, those who've already accepted him into their hearts. However, salvation freedom comes through both belief in Christ and continuous obedience to his teachings. To say I believe in Jesus is one thing. To live it is another thing. Freedom comes from doing both. So, how do we maintain our political freedom? Going back to that other thing we're going to celebrate in 2 days. How do we maintain our political freedom? Because the same statutes that go along with spiritual freedom goes for political freedom as well. We're not just wide open. We don't get to do what we want to do. It comes with responsibility. It comes with the cost. So how do we maintain our political freedom? Well, there's several ways we can maintain this freedom. By obeying the laws of our country. By being responsible citizens, by getting involved in our community, by voting, by serving our country in other various ways, by bettering the society in which we're living in. This is how we maintain our political freedom. We don't just sit on a couch and complain about how the world works. That's not how we maintain political freedom. And if you think I'm wrong, come debate me this week. We have a long conversation. Many of you don't know, I was a political science minor in college, so I know what I'm talking about. Let's talk about spiritual freedom for a second. How do we maintain our spiritual freedom? There are several ways. Bible study and prayer, church attendance, finding your place of ministry in the church, serving in the community in some way. Having an accountability partner, participating in Sunday school, paying attention to our emotions and how we share those emotions with the people around us, acting accordingly, honest and regular confession of our sins, and that's just to name a few. These are ways that we can maintain our spiritual freedom. We don't just get to sit down in the pew on Sunday morning for an hour and say, hey, I did my part. If you don't agree with me, come debate me this week. I majored in religion. Political freedom and spiritual freedom work hand in hand. And Christ was talking about both because in him we can understand the principles of each. So in closing this morning, I ask that each of us allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and our minds. Are we maintaining the spiritual freedom that Christ has given us through the death on the cross? What do we need to confess to God as we continue to obey the teachings of Jesus? Freedom is costly. It is costly. We are reminded of this down through the history of our nation as we remember the sacrifices of those who have continued to keep our freedom alive. Freedom is demanding. There have been challenges to our freedom throughout history, both foreign and domestic. The same holds true for spiritual freedom. For the grace and love of God to take root in our lives, we must keep obeying, keep believing, and keep trusting in the Lord. For just as disregarding our obligations and responsibilities as citizens weakens our political freedom, so does our disobedience and our failure to maintain our relationship with Christ. It weakens our spiritual freedom. Neither freedom can be affected to be neglected. Neither can be afforded to be neglected. I am grateful for the freedom I have in this country. I think all of us are. I am also grateful for the freedom that Christ has brought to me through the salvation and forgiveness of sin. I want to be a more committed follower because I believe my spiritual freedom is deepened through a continuing and honest confession of my sins and my shortcomings, because that's where it starts. Unlike our individual from the opening story, Junior Allen, who was searching desperately to find his identity, I know who I am. My identity is not found in a piece of paper. My identity is found in Him. He paid the cost for my freedom. And for that, I am thankful. And for that, I am free. Let us pray. Father, the freedom that we have experienced through your Son, Jesus Christ, is amazing. It is wonderful. It is awe-inspiring. And Father, when we accept that spiritual freedom into our lives, it's not a one-time act. It is a daily reminder of who we're called to be, of following your teachings, of living that daily life out through nurturing our spiritual lives. And Father, may we be true stewards of what we are called to do. And Father, as we celebrate our nation's independence on Tuesday, may we be reminded that political freedom is not a get-out-of-jail-free card, a free ticket to do whatever we want. No, Father, that freedom also comes with responsibility to better ourselves and to better our community by our actions and our words. Sounds a little bit like spiritual freedom too. Father, thank you for the freedoms that we can espouse and praise and lift up and experience in this country, in this moment, in this hour, in this minute. And may we cherish them, may we embrace them, and may we share them. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning to sing our closing hymn, maybe this morning is the very first time you realize that spiritual freedom that Christ has blessed you with. If today's that first time, I'll be down front. Come and talk with me about what it means to embrace Christ and accept Him into your heart. Or maybe today you're just looking for a church family that's seeking to honor God through our actions and our ministries and our words. Maybe First Baptist Elon is that home that you see through our worship and through our actions and our ministries that you want to be a part of. Or maybe just today you've been struggling. Maybe you're struggling with what that spiritual freedom means in your life. Or maybe you're struggling with something else, something that's weighing you down, that's heavy. I'll be down front. I'll come down and I'll pray with you. Or maybe you want to just come to the altar. This is Christ's altar. It's not my altar. So come and pray. Whatever is weighing on you today, just don't put it off. Make that decision this morning. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn, How Great Thou Art. I see the stars, I hear the rolling.
Today, know that you go carrying that spiritual freedom with you that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. Nurture that this week. Also, go and celebrate the political freedom that we have in this country to worship a Savior that has changed our lives forever. Enjoy time with your friends and family this week. Go in peace.